supposed to be funny. They're not supposed to make you sit there and cry. Dana and I are laughing and we're grabbing for the Kleenexes and I'm like, this is not funny. We're supposed to be up there. Now you got me all gloomy and all like sad. And it's been a year. I turned 50 this year. I'm a hot mess all the time, like drenched. Robin's house, she's like, I like it cold. Jeff, you know, brother Abel's, you know, he likes it hot in the house. I'm like, oh, thank the Lord. Do you control the temperature? Please tell me. And so they're freezing. My feet are cold because, anyway, it's a long story. But anyway, it's fun. We've had I forgot to put this on mute. Sorry. Someone just texted me. Thank you. Anyway, so I turned 50. My third child moved out of the house and went to Heartland this year. My boy, Jeremiah. Well, I have three boys. He's not my only boy, but he's Jeremiah. So I've just been a mess. I mean, I can't hardly talk about him, and I'm crying. No wonder she wanted me to speak this, because this puzzle piece, this mess, that's what I am. I'm like, I'm the puzzle piece. I'm the mess. You know, I got things everywhere that I'm like, how does this all fit, Lord? Am I supposed to be happy through this? So, sorry. I had to get that out. So she didn't know what to say about me. I'm like, I can tell stuff, you know. I'll just sit up there. But Robin, I love her. She's been a great friend for years. She's my pumpkin. It's the new name I gave her today. So, she's my pumpkin. She's my friend. We share. We shared some foot water. We did at Royal Nails yesterday. We went to get our feet done, and she jumped in one, and I jumped in the other, and we both put our feet in. She's like, oh, it's too hot. I'm like, it's too cold. Let's switch. So we swapped, and the ladies are just looking at us like, can they do this? You know, we've already sanitized it. We're like, we're friends. It's fine. So I put my feet in the hot water. We just have a good time everywhere we go. So if you want to know something, just come ask me. So anyway, it's good to be here. I'm glad y'all are here. I've been praying for y'all. Praying for safety, praying for your heart to be prepared as you came here today to hear from the Lord, because that's why we're here. This is all fun. The music sets our heart and gets us ready to hear from the Lord, but this is what it's all about right here. That's why Miss Robin and the ladies of Berean and the pastor here have been doing this. What did you say? How many years is this now? 15 years. So praise the Lord for that. So I'm thankful you're here. So how many of you are avid puzzlers? Okay, you're shy, avid puzzlers. Who doesn't want to know? You don't know. Okay, who are? Raise your hands. Right here. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of puzzlers. Whether you like word puzzles, there's math puzzles, jigsaw puzzles, toy puzzles. You know, you just enjoy that challenge. One of my favorite pastime puzzles, and I don't know if y'all have heard of it, because, I mean, are there even newspapers around anymore? Seriously, I'm like, everything, you know, you swipe left on an iPhone and there's your news. So, but the CryptoQuip, a few of you, yeah, I love the CryptoQuip. They call them cryptograms now, but basically the puzzle is a space-specific quote, supposedly famous. Half of them I'm like, I ain't never heard of that. But they're just random letters in each space, and then you have to figure out what other letter that one represents. Like, sometimes they'll give you a hint if they're nice people. They'll give you a hint. They'll say E equals N. And you're like, oh, okay, all the N's equal E. And then you can go on. Anyway, I just like that. I like words. So there you go. But maybe you're the math puzzler because you're good with numbers. Or you just like numbers. Yeah, I see a lot of heads. Yeah, like Sudoku? I can't even pronounce it. And it's even a word. But Sudoku, whatever it is. I'm more of the get a calculator or Google it kind of girl. Just move on. You know, I don't want math puzzles. What about Rubik's Cubes? Those are back. I'm like, they're back. I remember buying my kids one several years ago, you know, when they were back again before they went out and came back. And my kids were like, what is this? I'm like, it's a Rubik's Cube. And I never got into it either, so I don't know why I thought they would. But anyway, I was never good at those either. And what about jigsaw puzzles? How many of you are more of the jigsaw puzzlers? Okay. All right. Well, my second son, Jeremiah, he's my third born. I have Jacob is 26. Jenna is... She just turned 20 this year. No. How old is she? She's 20. Yeah, I'm asking my mama. My mama came. I'm like, how old is my daughter? She's 20. Jeremiah is 18. He'll be 19. And then Jack is my senior at home, and he's 17. I'm trying to keep all these kids straight. So anyway, Jeremiah, he loved puzzles growing up. And he was the one that we had to buy that blow-up middle four and the mat, and he would put puzzles together, and when he wasn't working out, he'd roll it up and shove it under the bed, you know, and those were fun. He was just that kid. He was serious about his puzzles, and it would drive him crazy if when he got to the end, there was a missing piece. And it happens even with brand new puzzles sometimes. I'm like, what the world? We just spent $15 on that. And he just, you know, what's the point? At that point, he just threw it away. He's like, I'm throwing it away. I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. Well, nonetheless, the interesting thing about jigsaw puzzles is that you always have in front of you the answer. You always have the finished product in front of you. It's on the front of the box. It's awesome. So you know what it's supposed to look like. But what if the designer didn't share the whole picture with us? What if all we received was a box, a plain box with a bunch of puzzle pieces in it? Hundreds or thousands. I don't know how big of a puzzle you like working on. But what if you had no picture? Or worse yet, what if we were handed one puzzle piece at a time? With no explanation. We didn't know how big it was, how many pieces there were. We were just given one piece of the puzzle at a time. I think that would be worse. But if you're like me, I would look at that puzzle. If someone gave me a puzzle that didn't have a picture on the box, that were just a bunch of pieces, I would be like, not today. And I'd walk away. That's unfun. You know, that's just not fun. But it's precisely the dilemma we face each and every day in our own personal puzzle we call life. The way it is. You see, in our life's puzzle, we don't get to know ahead of time what piece we're going to be handed or how it will affect our lives, nor do we always understand the purpose or the plan behind the puzzle pieces we're handed. Unexpected events, sudden changes, victories, defeats, unexplainable encounters, sicknesses, deaths, all of these things take place in all of our lives. Whether you're a believer or not a believer, saved or unsaved, these are things that happen in life. But just like a jigsaw puzzle, we too have a designer, God creator, our creator God, that knows what the finished product in our life is supposed to look like when it's completed. Because as her sign says, God sees the whole picture. He sees the end from the beginning. And as a jigsaw puzzle takes time, sometimes much patience, and always a lot of work to finish, so too does our life puzzle. Thankfully, our designer takes special care of us, ladies, and he never gives us more than we can handle with his help. One of my favorite verses is 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I love that verse. And if you don't know it, you need to find it in your Bible, underline it, write it on a card, and learn it. It'll help you. So tonight and tomorrow, what we're going to look at is two benefits that we receive from our designer when it comes to dealing with or handling the seemingly random pieces of our life's puzzle. Let's be honest. All of us have things in our lives that have been or will be difficult to deal with. Or maybe you're going through something right now that you're just like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. I don't understand this piece. I don't understand why it's in my life. I don't like it in my life. I mean, all of you could probably stand up and give some kind of testimony about something in your life or that you've just gone through, or maybe that, hey, it's coming tomorrow, that you're like, this is really difficult, and I just don't understand it. I don't know why it's here, and I don't like it, but, you know, Lord, I'm going to trust you, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because we do have a wonderful Heavenly Father, a perfect designer that is full of grace. And he promises to never leave us nor forsake us. He promises that if we will turn to him for the help we need, then he'll be there to help us through every circumstance, every event, everything that's difficult that he allows into our lives. You do understand that, right? I know pieces look random around here and stuff, but you know, every piece of your puzzle that God brings into your life is for a purpose. He has a plan for it. He has a reason. And our job is to figure out, God, what do you want me to learn from this? Where does this fit in everything else? Because I can't see it right now. You know, it's true. So tonight's lesson is going to be about this particular benefit of God's grace. And so if you will turn to Matthew 5 and stick a ribbon there, if you have a Bible ribbon or a piece of paper. If you don't have that, stick your neighbor's finger there, and then turn to James 1 and stick your neighbor's other finger there, and y'all just hold those two spots. I told Miss Robin earlier today, I said, you know, my lesson is different for me. I like to speak through a passage, like, Lord, just give me a passage of scripture that you know, there's boom, 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 boom. But it's kind of like her theme with these puzzle pieces. We're going to puzzle piece the scriptures tonight, because grace is found from Genesis to Revelation. It's found everywhere. It's not just where the word grace is found. We can see God's grace. If you're a reader of your Bible, you can see the grace of God as you read through the Bible. And so we're going to piece the grace of God together from a bunch of places. So if you want to flip to verses as I say them, you can. But I'm going to talk fast. You listen fast. Okay? And if you don't listen boring, I won't be boring. Okay? So listen fun. Listen excited. Listen interestingly. And I'll be interesting. It just works out that way. So anyway, but before we get started, let's just ask for the Lord's blessing to be upon us and just to go from here. Okay? Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm so thankful to know you, and I'm thankful, Father, that you know me and you know every lady that's here. You have orchestrated it in their lives, Father, to just have the space cleared off for them to be here this weekend. Lord, you have a plan and a purpose to speak to them, Lord, and I pray that even now they would just yield their heart over to you, Lord, and that they would yield just their preconceived ideas of the weekend, help them to lay that aside, Lord, and just open their heart to the working of the Holy Spirit in their lives, that you might speak to them and that it might be clear, Lord, that they would know why they are here, why you've brought them here, Lord. Just speak to them through your word tonight. Calm my nerves. Help me to say only that which you would have me to, God, and we'll just give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, grace is a benefit from the Lord, our designer, and he offers it unto all men. And really, if you read through the Bible, you'll kind of see that there's two uses of God's grace in the Bible. Number one, there's grace as undeserved favor. Now, we understand grace, that's what grace is, but just hang with me. I promise it'll make sense. Well, maybe. Anyway, grace is undeserved favor. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines grace as the free, unmerited love and favor of God. Just think about that. Grace is the free and unmerited, meaning you don't deserve it and I don't deserve it, love and favor of God. Grace is the spring and source of all the benefits that men receive from the Lord. Psalm 68:19 is a great verse. It says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Do you understand that? God daily loadeth us with benefits. I think of a big old semi-truck, and God just throws it all in, and it's for us. It's for our taking. But under this use of grace as undeserved favor, we have saving grace and common grace. Okay, stay with me. You're like, there's more grace. Just stay with me, I promise. So common grace and saving grace. By common grace, I mean this, that the grace of God, that God's grace is given to all humanity, regardless of their response to him. Okay? For example, the beauty of creation. Is it just the saved that get to enjoy that? Mm-mm. No. What about provisions of food and water and shelter? Do just those that are God's people and the saved get to enjoy that? Absolutely not. Good health, financial stability, children, family, good jobs. I mean, I think you get the picture. All of mankind gets to enjoy that common grace, the grace of God. A person doesn't have to be saved to receive those types of blessings. Now look with me in Matthew. You're there already. Matthew 5. And the second part of verse 45 says, and this is Jesus speaking. If you have a Bible with red letters, you know it's Jesus, okay? So he's speaking. And he says, "For he," speaking of God, which is in heaven, "for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Now flip to James 1:17. There in the first part of James says, "Every what? Good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from whom? The Father." Every good gift comes down from God. So saved or unsaved, there is common grace that all men get to enjoy. After all, grace is an attribute of God. It's who he is. It's how he relates to all men. He is a God of grace. 1 Peter 5:10 refers to the Lord as the God of all grace. I mean, it's right there in the scriptures. So common grace, it's enjoyed by all mankind, saved or unsaved. Then there's saving grace. Saving grace refers to the grace offered to man, to all mankind, for the faith to believe that what God says in his book is true. Saving grace. That what God says about salvation, that what God says about eternal life is true. And everything else that God says is true. But it's saving grace. Let me just tell you that this puzzle piece is the single most important piece of your life's puzzle. This piece is the only one that our designer will offer you. Okay, we don't get to choose sickness. We wouldn't choose a sickness. We wouldn't choose a death. We wouldn't choose hardships. We don't get to choose that. That comes down from a loving Heavenly Father. But to every person who's ever been born, God offers this puzzle piece of the saving grace of salvation. Should you choose not to take it, your life's puzzle will never be complete without it. You'll never be fulfilled. You'll always be searching, always longing for something else. It'll be more like that puzzle that my son didn't finish because he was missing that one piece. You'll always be missing that one piece that's needed to complete your life's puzzle. Listen to these verses, and if you haven't received the saving grace of piece of your life's puzzle, I want you to know that you can do so tonight. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans 3, 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." How do I get saved, you might ask? Romans 10, 19, and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ladies, the Bible is clear. The only way a person can get saved is by having faith in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You must admit you're a sinner and ask the Lord to forgive you and to save your soul. So let me ask you, have you willingly received God's gift of salvation? Do you remember that time? If I were to give you a piece of chalk, could you go back to that place where you received Christ in circle and say, "This is where I met the Savior. This is where God forgave me." And if not, God in his grace has given you another opportunity to do so tonight. And in order, honestly, in order for the rest of this weekend to be a help to you and to be a lasting help to you, you must choose to accept the saving grace of God into your life's puzzle tonight. And we pray that you'll do so. Well, the second benefit of God's grace we can experience is grace as power for living. And this is very important. Grace is the free, unmerited love and favor of God. But if you look at Webster's again, it goes further and defines grace this way: the favorable influence of God. The favorable influence of God. Men like Noah in Genesis 6 and Moses in Exodus 33, Gideon in Judges 6, just to name a few, these men clearly found the favorable influence of God to be upon their lives. And to us, if you think about Moses and Noah and all of these other people, and you can name more, you can think of David and many more characters who were people that lived on earth. You understand? It's not just a character in a Bible story. These are real men, real women who found grace in God's sight. Whenever we think about them, in our finite minds, we think, well, that makes sense. They're spiritual giants. They did great things for God. I mean, think about it. Noah built the ark that saved him and his family alone when God judged mankind and flooded the whole earth and everyone else died. He's a spiritual giant. Of course God would give him grace. What about Moses? Moses led God's complaining, bickering people out of Egyptian bondage through the wilderness for 40 years. And they experienced firsthand the miracles of God on their journey. What about Gideon? Gideon led 300 men to victory against 120,000 Midianites. These were all good men. They were awesome, we would say. They deserved God's grace, right? But let me remind you, Noah also sinned and got drunk. Moses murdered a man, and he struggled with anger for most of his life, unable to even lead God's people into the promised land. At one point, Gideon hid from his enemy out of fear instead of trusting the Lord. My point is, ladies, all of us mess up. All of us make bad decisions. All of us make poor choices. all of us have kind of a mess sometimes. It's just the way it is. None of us deserve God's love and favor. It's only by God's favorable influence upon our lives that we have the power to do anything right or get through a difficult situation without falling apart at the seams or drowning in our sorrows. I think I'm going to go ahead and bring that out. Okay? No, you stay there. You got the thing on you. Okay. She's got a broken arm. So, I'll share it in a minute. You can't see it yet. Okay. I'm like, no, psych. Okay, it'll come. So, September 8th of last year, our daughter-in-law, my oldest son Jacob, got married to Nina. She didn't grow up in a Christian home. She grew up in a home that, I remember her telling us, her mom said, just learn about everything, but don't believe in one thing. And so my son met her. He liked her, but we're like, she's not saved. Long story short, she got saved, and we're thankful. The Lord used our church plant, Pleasant Valley Baptist Church in Phoenix, before we merged with the church that my husband pastors now, that we were working at for about almost 2 years. He used that church plant to see my daughter-in-law get saved. So it's really cool. It's been supposed to happen yet. Okay, so fast forward. May of 2020, they're like, we ain't waiting for COVID. We're getting married. So we got married. They got married. We got married. It was like, yeah, sorry. They got married. Their daddy married them. It was really cool. And then she got pregnant. And so last year, September 8th, she was at her 37th week checkup. And her doctor says, you know what? Your blood pressure is really high. I think I want you to go over to the hospital and get that checked out. They, you know, get you on a monitor. So the poor girl, I'm telling you, y'all live in the Midwest. You know ticks? I mean, chubby ticks, yeah. So this girl had been struggling with high blood pressure for weeks and was swollen to the gills. I mean, to me, it wasn't normal. I had had 4 kids, you know. I'd been around kids and, you know, and women pregnant all my life. You know, it was a tradition in our church. If one got pregnant, 9 were pregnant. They just didn't know it yet. It just was that way. 9 babies were had, another one gets pregnant. Oh, here comes another slew. You know, it was awesome. If you can't grow from without, you grow from within. That's the church motto, you know. So that's what we did. So anyway, seriously, just Faith Baptist Church, go there if you want to get pregnant. So in Wesley Chapel, Florida, not around here, I don't know. Anyway, so it wasn't normal, and I had been saying, hey, are they, you know, checking your blood pressure? She's like, yeah, they say it's a little high, and this was leading up to this appointment. I'm like, are they doing anything? Oh, they're just monitoring it. Okay. By monitoring, she just meant as she went in, they would check it. So anyway, she and my son eventually get to the hospital that evening. She's like, I'm going to go home and shower, and I'm like, okay, hurry up, you know. So she goes home and showers, wait for Jake to get home, and they go to the hospital. Sure enough, they hook her up, check her blood pressure, and they're like, you know what? You've got to stay. It's way too high. This is unsafe. Okay. Of course, we're totally excited. We're like, sweet, it's our first grandbaby. So we're like, text everyone, here he comes, he's coming, you know, pray, this is awesome. Not thinking anything else. And so the next couple of days, honestly, are a little fuzzy now. I even had to go back into my phone to my text and reread the text to be reminded of the things that happened. But essentially, they started slowly inducing her, which was foreign to me. I'm like, what do you mean slowly? Like Pitocin, bam, there's a baby. No, like they give you medicine first to efface you. And then after 24 hours, then they give you the Pitocin to, you know, carry you through. It was just very different. I had never heard of this process, but it's happened several times to some of the ladies in our church. So because of the restrictions that were still in place at that time, no one could visit them. My husband couldn't go. Even as a pastor, they wouldn't let him go back. Yes, he was my son, but we were pulling the pastor card. Like, he's a pastor. He can go, right? Because he's a pastor. Nope, didn't work. No, sorry. No, I know. That's true. I was like, oh, I'm going to poke your eyeballs out. Sorry. Okay. All right, so no one could go in, and we were so thankful. So there the two of them were. No prior experience in childbirth and labor, none of this. Just going with the flow of things, going with the way that the nurse said or the doctor said, and they were just doing that. And occasionally I would text Jacob and say, hey, are they doing this? Hey, what are they doing about this? And then Nina's mom has some kind of medical background, but not a nurse or anything, but had some, so she would ask questions, and we were just pulling our hair out. But anyway, several things about those 2 days were confusing and didn't make sense. 36 hours in to this whole process, my daughter-in-law, Nina, was struggling with her blood pressure still. It was still way high. She was exhausted by this point, you know, her body trying to labor. She was nauseous. She was throwing up. At times, she felt like she would pass out. And our son, Jacob, would send us updates and just, you know, just, Mom, keep praying. This is going on. And we were just kind of beside ourselves. Of course, we had a plethora of people praying across the world, literally. And I know some of you were even praying. And finally, on September 10th, at 5:10 p.m., she was fully dilated. And we were so thankful. We're like, yes, just get this over with. Let's get this baby out of her and let her blood pressure, you know, balance out. Let the baby, you know, just start growing. Well, at 6:05 p.m., so about almost an hour later, expecting a picture of our grandson, Jacob instead texted these words, "Pray, Walker's heart rate slow." As we're digesting this little bit of information, we had just left a restaurant, and we're like, huh, what do you mean? It's almost an hour later. What do you mean the baby's not out? And then Jacob texts, literally, "Pray, pray, pray, please." My husband and I immediately pulled over into a gas station, and we just stopped, and we just prayed. Lord, we're not there, but we know you are. About 20 minutes later, the next text says, "He's out, not breathing, rushing to NICU." When we actually got to speak to Jacob, he told us that Walker didn't cry at all, that he was blue and lifeless. This was our little guy. He was 5 pounds, 9 ounces. They took him to NICU. He was hooked up on everything. I mean, anything you can think of, he had going on in his body. And, you know, it was a scary time for our kids. It was a scary time for us. And the very first picture we got of Walker, instead of up close in his mommy's arms or his daddy's arms, was from across the room, and a nurse was working on him. And you could see that he was limp and just a little blue. And it was just heartbreaking that, and no one could be up there. No one could help these kids through it. You know, no person, you know, on earth. Pretty soon, we learned that Walker was born with what's called hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy. They call it HIE for short. Thank the Lord, because I'm like, hypoxic, I can't even say that half the time. I have to read it, but HIE. It's a type of newborn brain damage caused by oxygen deprivation and limited blood flow. It's a type of birth injury. Basically, that night, they're like, he's going to have to be airlifted to another hospital because we don't have the equipment to, thank you, that's what this means, tell me something, the equipment to take care of him. So that night, just a few hours old, they put him in a helicopter and transported him to another hospital, and they were doing everything just went out the window. They did this process called therapeutic hypothermia. Basically, it's a 72-hour process where they cool the baby's body temperature and brain down to a certain degree below normal temperatures to slow the effect that causes widespread damage, just to slow the brain damage down. And thankfully, they let Jacob go with him. So we went to pick Jacob up because they wouldn't let him fly. So we picked him up, took him to the other hospital, and they took Walker there. And his mama had to stay at the other hospital because she was still sick and still struggling, and they were still trying to get her blood pressure, you know, balanced out. And so he was able to go, but he couldn't hold him. The only thing he could do is if he started to move, because they needed him not to be stimulated, he was allowed to just kind of lay his hand on his chest just to calm him down, or like you see there, he was able to just give him a finger, and he'd just hold his little finger. It was precious. So I was thankful for that much that he got to do. But little did we know that roller coaster was just beginning. Over the next several days, Jacob would watch Walker just stop breathing. And, of course, everything, all the things went off, and the nurses and doctors rushed in, and Jacob would call us. Jacob would call and say, "Mom, pray. I don't know if he's going to make it. I don't know. They're working on him. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just in the corner of the room watching. I can't do anything. And so that was just scary. It's a hard piece. It's a difficult piece. You know, none of us ever thought we would face that. And it was turning out to just be not as a joyous occasion as you wanted. To be honest, that event brought a level of fear and uncertainty in my life, I know, that I hadn't experienced before. And it was a time in our life when it tested our faith. It tested even our belief in the sovereignty of God and in the grace of God in our life, and even in God's grace in my kids' life and my grandson's life. But I know I'm not alone. I mean, many of you are out there shaking your heads. You know this is not exclusive to Dean and Elle's life. This could be your life. There's things in your life. We've all had puzzle pieces given to us by the precious hand of God that have been difficult to bear and perhaps have caused us to question these things, pieces that have overwhelmed us, pieces that have caused inconsolable tears, pieces that have stopped us in our tracks with fear, or pieces that have confused us, or pieces that were like, okay, that where did that, you know, just coming from left field, pieces that have made us question whether serving God is even worth it. And because of this, we are all in desperate need of the grace of God in our lives. We're in desperate need of the favorable influence of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians 9. And if you like to mark in your Bible, you need to underline a few of these verses. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. This is a wonderful, wonderful verse. When I studied the grace of God and came through this, I've read it, you know, gone over it, but this is a wonderful verse. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That word sufficiency means ability or adequate power. God says, Dina, I have the power to get you through this. I have the power to get your son and your daughter-in-law through this. He is able to make all grace abound towards you. Turn to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. This is a familiar verse. This is Paul. And Paul says in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. That means enough. It means equal to the end proposed. It means competent. So my grace is enough. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. In this passage, if you read this passage in 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul is writing about this thorn in the flesh that he was given, that he says that God gave it to him, and how that Satan was buffeting him, and he was trying to exploit Paul's imperfections, his suffering, his weaknesses. You know what? That's what Satan does. When we're in the midst of our suffering, when we are in the midst of a difficult time, you know who shows up? The devil. Satan shows up and tries to get us to focus on the pain and on the suffering and what we don't have or what we didn't get or the answer to prayer that we wanted that God didn't give us. And he wants us to focus on the negativity. But God says, my grace is sufficient. And you know what he told? You know what he told Paul? No, I'm not taking it away. My grace is sufficient. You know, God, he's not going to come and just, okay, I was kidding. Here, he's fine. God didn't do that for us. And he doesn't do it for you all the time either. But you know what? He says, while you're in that difficult spot, if you pray and ask me, I'll help you. I'll show up because I'm able, he says. He is able. You know what is able means? That means you have a choice and I have a choice. We have a choice to choose God to come into this situation that you've given me and help me through it, because I can't. I'm not able. But God says he is able. His grace. God offered Paul his sufficient grace. His grace that is enough, his grace that is competent, his grace that is able to help us through our difficult times. How often is it, though, that we reject the grace of God that he has for us when we are given those tough puzzle pieces? Does God ever bestow his grace upon you in vain? I didn't even know that that was really such a thing. But in 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." Do you know there is a well of grace that God has for you? There's a well of grace. Whatever it is that you're going through, whatever difficult time that you're having right now, God says, "I have an endless well of grace, and I am able." But are you going to choose it, or are you going to reject my grace and try and handle this on your own? When you're going through a difficult situation or a dark time, do you often become depressed, anxious, or fearful? If so, it could be that the grace of God is being bestowed upon you in vain. You are choosing instead to focus in on the negativity of that situation instead of drawing from God's endless well of grace for the power you need to get through. Like Paul, all of us need to realize and acknowledge that our need for and total dependence upon the Lord, upon the grace of God to get us through every struggle, every pain, every suffering, every imperfection, every hurtful thing, everything, every confusing thing, every uncomfortable moment that comes our way. Why? So that we can have God's power to get through it, because we don't have the power on our own. We are not able on our own. I always think of that song, and I loved teaching that and singing it with my kids when they were little, and now in Sunday school class with little kids. He is able, he is able. I don't sing I. You sing, "I know my Lord is able to carry me through." I love that song, and it's true. Sometimes I break out in song in the middle of something. "God, you're able, you know, please remind me. I need help right now, please." You know, yeah, I do that. 2 Corinthians 4:7-9 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Listen to these next words. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Paul moved forward in his faith and in his service unto the Lord because he chose to rest in the grace of God for his sufferings. And God gave him power to accomplish all that he led him to do. That's what we need. We need power to accomplish this puzzle called life. We need the power of God to help put everything together, even if it doesn't make sense to us. You know, do you understand? We don't have to understand it. We may never understand some of the things that happen. I mean, my father-in-law passed away in 2016, a deep brain bleed, and he just passed away within 2 days. It was just sudden. My husband's brother in 2018 passed away of cancer. It's just him and his mom now, and I've had other aunts pass away. A good friend of ours just had an accident and died. I mean, things happen all the time. How do we handle those sudden things that come into our life? Right here, the grace of God. He is able, but you have to call upon him and say, "Lord, I need your help. I need your grace. I can't do this without you. I may be perplexed, or I may be troubled, but I don't have to be distressed. I may be perplexed. I may not understand it, but I don't have to be in despair. God, I'm persecuted, but it doesn't mean I have to feel forsaken, because I know that you never leave me nor forsake me. God, I'm cast down, and I don't know what to do, but Lord, Satan's not going to destroy me, and this puzzle piece isn't going to destroy me either." When Walker was in the hospital for those 8 days, I remember a conversation I had with Nina, and it still rings in my ears. At one point after he was born and things were just not looking well, she said that Jacob came to her. You know, she's a new Christian, basically. She got saved in like 2017, 18, somewhere in there. They got married in 2020. She's been growing in the Lord. She's such a blessing to me. I just love her. But she said that my son said, "Nina, are you going to be okay if God chooses to take our son away?" I was like, "What did she say?" You know, what's she going to say? And she told me, she's like, "You know, I told him, Mom, I told him, yes, if Walker doesn't make it, we're gonna still serve the Lord, because he's going to help us." And that about brought me to my knees. That broke my heart, that all that they were going through. But you know what? God was teaching them in that valley. God was teaching him that, hey, as good as I am on the mountain, I'm just as good in the valley, and I can help you through. And he was teaching my kids that. I knew at that moment that God's grace was there for them in that hospital room, just as he was at my house with me when I was having a hard time. Whatever lay ahead, I knew God's grace was going to help him. 2 Corinthians 1:5 says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." Where do you get your consolation from? It's got to be by Christ, not the world, not a bottle, not a drug, nothing else, not another person. Your consolation has to be by Christ. Ladies, life is hard. Life isn't always fair. Sometimes life is plain messy. But if you have personally accepted the puzzle piece of God's saving grace, then you are eligible to receive all the grace that you need from God to get you through whatever it is you're going through today. Romans 8:28 states, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." That's important. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. "To them who are the called according to his purpose." God has a plan for your life and mine, and he has a purpose for every piece of our life's puzzle. What is that difficult puzzle piece in your life that God has given you right now? Are you relying on the grace of God to help you handle it, or are you trying to fix everything yourself? It might be how you answer this question. Are you worn out, stressed out, depressed, and full of anxiety? Then maybe you need to come to the altar tonight and surrender it all to the Lord and say, "God, I'm not able, but you are." And just trust in the God of all grace, because that's what he's offering you tonight. How will you respond? If you will just stand up, we're going to have a word of prayer, and you can turn to 486. I believe that's the song that Miss Sarah's going to start singing here in a minute, too. And I just want to give you this time. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to just allow you to just come and do business with the Lord. If he's laid something on your heart, something you need to pray about, something you need to give to him, just say, "God, I need your help through this." And then we want to give you the opportunity. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful for the grace of God. Lord, it's so important that, first of all, we understand your saving grace, Father, and that without you, Lord, we're undone, and we have no hope, Lord. But because of your grace, we can be saved, Lord. Even tonight, if there's one in here that isn't saved, that doesn't know for sure that they're on their way to heaven should they die, Lord, I pray that you would give them that understanding and the courage to step out and be saved tonight. And Lord, for those of us in this room who are saved, Lord, maybe we've been saved a long time or a short time, Lord, it doesn't matter, but we're going through some hard times, some difficult things that are hard to handle, Lord. We don't know what to do. We're perplexed a little bit. We're a little downtrodden. God, I pray that you'd encourage them that you would have encouraged them through your word tonight, bring them forward to help them get things right with you, Lord, and just deliver them out of this situation as far as their fears and their uncertainties, Lord, and help them to trust in you for the grace of God to get them through and to give them the power they need, Lord, to get through this. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we'll praise you for all that you do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.